Shall we resume with a prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now first, I promised to pass around, so who's to sign? Just sign your names and then pass it on. And our present class is on Judaism. First of all, the book is out of print. But, as I think I've told you, I have a book called American Judaism, which is worth reading. It should be, at least I trust, in some libraries. Now there are two outlines. One is on Judaism as such, and the other is on the spiritual legacy of Judaism. Notice we are speaking of Judaism today. We are not speaking about Judaism, say, before Christ. That's a subject all by itself and is not part of this course. We therefore define Judaism today as the religious culture of a people who trace their roots to the Old Testament prophets and their hopes in a forthcoming Messiah. That, by the way, is a standard definition of Judaism of the Jews today. I've lectured in their synagogues. I've come to know them well and have come to both appreciate them, respect them, and, as we're doing now, teaching about them. Now, what is the estimate What is the Jewish estimate of Christianity? According to today's Judaism, Christianity is essentially the religion started by Paul of Tarsus. Please announce that Father Brown is now hearing confessions downstairs in the lending library. Father Brown is hearing confessions downstairs in the lending library. And just for the record, I'm going to confession to Father Brown this morning. Thanks for the information. We repeat, what is the Judaic adjective, estimate of Christianity? And this is now for 1900 years. This is their understanding of Christianity. A religion started by Paul of Tarsus, who broke the bond. That's the charge. Who broke the bond that formerly united the chosen people and mistakenly urged the Jews to accept Jesus of Nazareth as their Messiah. And the passages quoting from the Acts of the Apostles are the standard in all writing about Christianity in the good professional scholarly Jewish literature. Now we distinguish immediately between the Judaism that existed before Christ and what we're talking about here. I use the word modern Judaism. By modern, I don't mean just the 20th century. By modern, I mean the Judaism that came into existence after Christianity was founded and began to spread. It began with the fall of Jerusalem under Emperor Titus, A.D. 70. And among the most authentic writers on the origin of Judaism is the Jewish historian Josephus, spelled like Joseph with a U.S. at the end. Josephus. Josephus wrote, well, depending on what edition you get, it's up to 4 volumes on the history of the Jews. The book was written before the year 100 A.D. In other words, when Jerusalem fell in the year 70 and the temple was destroyed, as I think I've said on more than one occasion, the exact number we don't know, but thousands of Jews in the year 70 AD when the Romans besieged Jerusalem, for the Jews just refused to submit to the Romans. And the Romans besieged the capital of Judaism and took them months to break through the walls of Jerusalem, the Romans. When they finally broke through, then, I repeat the exact number we don't know, but thousands of Jews were crucified. To a point where Josephus says, the Romans stopped crucifying the Jews whom then they overwhelmed. Only when all the trees in the forests around Jerusalem were cut down. And, of course, the Christians remembered. When we recall when Pilate stood the just scourged Jesus and told the Jews, "Shall I crucify your king?" And they shouted, "We have no king but whom? Caesar." And then Pilate, remember, pleaded innocence. "I repeat," he said, "I am innocent of the blood of this man." Remember what the Jews shouted? "His blood be on us and on our children." And the Christians, anticipating the fulfillment of that prophecy, left Jerusalem and then were spared, anticipating Christ's prophecy. Those who were left among the Jews, and notice the term that I use because that's the language of the Jewish historians themselves. They belong to 2 rabbinical schools. The ancient from Babylon, center in present Iran, and those in Jamalia, centered in Tel Aviv, present day Jaffa. A synod was held by the Pharisees about the year 100 AD, at which they decided on what books belong to their Bible. And because Christians were using, well, the Old Testament, including seven books that originally were not inspired in Hebrew, but in Greek, the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin in the year 100 decided the Holy Spirit will not inspire anything in any other language except Hebrew. So they dropped seven books, what had been their Old Testament. These seven books, needless to say, are in all Catholic Bibles. Among these books, the Book of Wisdom, the Book of Ecclesiasticus, the two books of the Maccabees. And as I've said so often, when we treat a Protestant, we'll say more. Then Martin Luther decided, who knows best what belongs to the Old Testament and the Jews? So the Protestants dropped the same seven books from their Bible which the Jews removed from their Old Testament. And they replaced what had been the Septuagint while the year 200 B.C. there was a Greek translation of the Old Testament. Seven books originally in Greek, plus the other books translated from the Hebrew into the Greek. Year 100 A.D., the Sanhedrin retranslated their Old Testament, retranslated into Greek, which was the language of the learned people at the end of the first century of the Christian era. And they carefully made sure they translated the Old Testament. And that is why. And this is just one example. The 7th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, 14th verse. Here, remember in Isaiah, we have the prophecy, a virgin will conceive and bear a son. They shall call him Emmanuel. The Jews in the year 100, I repeat, retranslated the whole Old Testament and removed the word virgin. It is now in every Jewish Bible. A young woman will conceive and bear a son. And as I've told so many of my students over the years, especially in teaching Scripture, as I've done, you won't find 7th chapter, 14th verse of Isaiah. A virgin shall conceive. And sadly, even some Old Testaments with bright shining imprimaturs have removed the word virgin. Now we go on. Something about the Talmud. Remember, we're talking about present-day Judaism originating in the year 70 and in its biblical source 180. The Talmud is literally instruction. There are two writings of the Talmud, the Mishnah and the Gemara. Around 215 AD, and then finished by the 6th century AD. The Talmud that I've used over the years in teaching Judaism is in 28 volumes. Thick, almost 2 inches thick, and I would say about 16 inches high, and almost a foot wide. And the Talmud contains all the interpretation of the laws that Jews are to observe. And those laws are, I'm not exaggerating, in the thousands. So much so that for the Jews, what we call the Bible, they call the Torah, which means law. As we know, the Pharisees, who really originated what I'm calling modern Judaism. For them, the stress was on the law, which they interpreted, as we know, so strictly that one of the charges against Jesus by the Pharisees was he did not observe the law. Meaning what? He did not observe their interpretation. Now, something about Moses. Those numbers, by the way, and letters that I have, are my guideline when I have lectured on Judaism. One or two semesters. And we have, a little over an hour. So I'm necessarily concentrating. Now, Moses Maimonides. This name, Maimonides, note that Moses Maimonides, born 1135 AD. And Jews, whenever they can, they will omit, never use our own calendar. They will change, a blackboard. Oh, delightful. Instead of AD, they change it to AM. As we know, AD means in the year of the Lord, Anno Domini, in the year of the Lord. The Lord, of course, being Jesus Christ. The Jews, any Jewish writing, will use Anno Mundi. In the year of the world, because in the Jewish tradition, the world was created 4,000 years before, those so-called Christians originated. And that word so-called is exactly the way the believing Jews think of us. Because, as we know, the English word Christ means Messiah. Our English word Christ came from the Greek Christos, which is simply the Greek for Mashiach, which means the Anointed One. And consequently, there are no real Christians. You're all spurious. You're all counterfeits. Vivi, if you please, the Messiah was Jesus Christ. Now the genius who organized Judaism into a system was, I repeat, Moses Maimonides. I will now speak for hours. And one reason for Moses Maimonides, well, structuring what is present-day Judaism is because of the strong hostility between the Muslims and the Jews. There is no love lost between the followers of Muhammad and the Jews. And Maimonides, therefore, organized, the great genius, I use the term structured, organized, wrote extensively, and his writings are now the standard, shall I call it, theology of Judaism. And I thought I would pick out the 12 principles of Moses Maimonides. Now, of course, as we'll see at very brief length, there are many forms of Judaism, especially three, of which we'll say more later on. The Orthodox, the Conservative, and the Reform. Maimonides is the great theologian of Judaism. Call him the Thomas Aquinas of Judaism. And Orthodox Jews follow Moses Maimonides. I repeat, 12 principles of Maimonides. God is creator. God is unity. And don't you dare say that God is a Trinity. Now we as Christians believe, of course, that God is a unity, one in nature, but we believe one in nature, but three distinct persons. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not just three personifications. No, God is a community of three persons. Thirdly, on this Maimonides, don't you dare, unless you want to blaspheme, claim that God has a body. Let me tell you, over the years in teaching Judaism, how my faith in the incarnation of God becoming man has been clarified and strengthened. So many Christians, how well I know, don't really understand Christianity. The heart of both Islam and Judaism, the heart is the absolute, utter, unqualified denial that God ever became man. God has no body. And as a culture like ours becomes more and more secularized, as we said earlier, in English, nobody is no one. You mean that to be someone, you must have a body? That's our English vocabulary. The deepest revolution ever in the history of the human race is going on now. And my one prayer is, it be enough of us who still have the faith to remain both alive and sane, and believers in God who took on a human nature . God is first and last. How first? As the origin of everything else. As the last. Being the goal or the destiny. That's Maimonides. And of course, he is correct. Except for number 3. Won't you deny that God became man? All kinds of things follow. In Maimonides, you pray only to God. One of my favorite definitions of Protestantism, which I have used in teaching Protestants. Protestantism is Old Testament Christianity. You pray only to God. Well, just a minute. Whom do you think we Catholics pray to? Well, you pray to Mary. You pray to the saints. You pray to the angels. Just a minute. Let's get our vocabulary straight. We pray through Mary, through the saints, through the angels, to God. This again is our poor. I hesitate using certain adjectives for English language. What a safe statement. English is not a Catholic language. Period. Close the book. And I've got to talk in English. Oh, I mean this. How it pains me to speak to you about our faith in English. Quantum mihi paceret. Loqui vobis in lingua nostra materna, lingua latina, se pro dolor, which means unfortunately. I spoke in another language. Well, I made noises in the air, but the thoughts would not get through. 6. The prophets are true. Of course, minus those prophets which the Jews dropped. They dropped 7 books from the Old Testament. Moses is the one prophet for everyone. The Torah is now the same in that PNT stands for the Pentateuch. In other words, the basis, the foundation of God's revealed truth is found in the first 5 books of the Bible, beginning with the book of Genesis. Those 5 books are standard. Everything else in the Old Testament depends on the meaning of those 5 books. Number 9, God knows our thoughts. He sure does. God rewards and punishes. He sure does. The Messiah, notice, will come. To this day, I don't know of a single synagogue, and I know enough of them. They do not pray on their Sabbath, which is Saturday. Oh, come. O come Emmanuel, praying for the Messiah. And then, to his credit, Moses Maimonides believed in the resurrection of the dead. So the Orthodox Jews believe in the bodily resurrection on the last day. Now just a word about Kabbalism. In teaching this course, as a course, I thought I should tell the students something about Kabbalism. because it corresponds to what we call oral tradition. And in our vocabulary, Kabbalism is Jewish mysticism. The outstanding persons over the centuries have received special illuminations from Yahweh. And then they write those out, and then people then follow what is called Kabbalism. There is both a speculative Kabbalism, a speculative mysticism, and a wonder-working Kabbalism. And others performing wonders. And this is subject all by itself. In other words, there are, well, you would call them beyond or above human powers that the Kabbalists can invoke to obtain things that, humanly speaking, could not be done. Now, something about the three main forms of Judaism, whose names we identified before: Orthodox, Reform, and Conservative. The Orthodox, we may say, go back to the first century, and now the first century of the Christian era. They are, in our vocabulary, the most conservative. However, the name Orthodox, is also Reform and Conservative. Came into existence only after Napoleon. Remember, turn of the 18th into the 19th century, when Napoleon decided he was going to remove all the Jews from France. Because, in Napoleon's judgment, the Jewish people were not a religion. They were a political system. And so, the Jews got together and decided, we better make it clear to Napoleon that we are a religion. So then, they made a decision, I repeat, and formed three kinds of believing Jews: Orthodox, Reform, and Conservative. So that triple division is about 200 years old. Over the years, most of my work with the Jewish people has been with the conservative. Now, the word in English, conservative, taken, of course, from the French, does not really mean what we understand by the word conservative. The most conservative in our vocabulary are the Orthodox. But even the very word Orthodox, in our vocabulary, Orthodoxy stands for doctrine. And the opposite of orthodox is heterodox, or more commonly, heretical. For the Jews, the most important thing to be a faithful Jew is not what you believe. And don't forget that. The most important thing in Judaism is not what you believe with your mind. The most important thing in Judaism is how you obey the laws. I repeat, for them, even the Bible is called the law. And consequently, the Orthodox Jews are the most faithful in the observance of Judaic laws. And those laws cover, I mentioned earlier, 28 volumes. Literally, thousands of prescriptions. The Reform are a reaction to the Orthodox. And their stress is not on law, but on culture and teaching Judaism as a course, a graduate course. I've told my students that so much of Judaism, only God knows, of the 15-some million, that's all, of the 15-some million Jews in the world, the foundation of Judaism is a culture. And you can be a Jew without, say, believing in the Old Testament. And, of course, even without observing the prescriptions, what they call the Torah. Just to name one very famous Jew, Sigmund Freud. One of my graduate studies in psychology, I had to read through the 14 volumes, not every word, of Sigmund Freud. To his dying day, Freud believed himself to be a Jew. And Freud could not have been clearer. There is no God in Sigmund Freud. So that Judaism as a culture, it was really underlies Judaism in the world today. And the conservative, unlike the Reform, and by the way, the spelling is never Reformed, A.D., but just Reform. Unlike the Reform, the conservative Jews considered themselves a religion, but they adjust the religion to the times and the people among whom they live. In my 14 years living in New York City, how well I knew what adjustments they make to the culture, the place, and the time which they live. Now, something about their ritual. Here, some of these I will quote from American Judaism. What I'd like to do is, I think I promised last class, I would like to finish your questions for our last class, remember? And then, I trust, do we have something to be passed around for more questions today? I just chose 8 areas regarding ritual. First, circumcision. Only boys are circumcised. And this is the way in which, well, a man becomes a Jew. I think I should say this. When the feminist movement, which, as you know, is so powerful in our society, when the feminists accuse Christianity of discrimination against women, I say in Italian, Mamma mia! If they only knew. Except for Christianity, Haman could not have the status which they've had now in countries where Christianity has taken root. I must have mentioned this at least on some occasion before. In Orthodox synagogues on Saturdays, the men pray out loud, "Lord, we thank you for not making us women." And of course, at this point, my temptation is to veer off into so many aspects of Judaism. Polygamy, remember, among the Jews in the Old Law. I think I've asked you before, the two famous Jews of the Old Testament who practiced polygamy. Solomon, another famous one.
David.
And remember, when the Jews came, or Pharisees, asked Jesus, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" Remember, for any reason, no Jew in his right mind would ask whether it was lawful to put away a wife. That's assumed. Is only whether you can put away your wife for any reason. Circumcision. Then the bar mitzvah. In other words, at the age of 12, the boy. Now, the more, that's the liberal Jews, they now have some ceremonies for the girls too. But they're not authentically Jewish. Well, the boy goes to the ceremony where he is officially enrolled in the Jewish faith. Big celebration in the synagogue, the bar mitzvah. And the kiddushim, I thought I'd quote,